All right. Well, it's always a privilege, an honor to get to speak to the church. And I tell you, you know, the events of this past week have just weighed heavy on my heart. And I'm a pretty sensitive guy. My daughter always tells me, don't cry, Dad. And I'm going to try not to, but I got to tell you, I just cried like a baby all day yesterday. And, you know, you think about these little kids and these teachers. I think about my wife, who's a teacher. Some of you are teachers. And then in my mind, I started to think, what in the world is going on? What's happened to our society? The fabric is coming apart, it seems like, doesn't it? You know, years ago, a guy brought a rifle into a place here in town and shot people in the GMAC building. Just shot people, you know. And from then, it's just like every month, somebody else is shooting people just at random. Every month, it's another one. It's another story of senseless tragedy. And you say, how does this happen? What's happened? And I think the real conclusion, the only conclusion is that we can come to is that God's just absent. Not that he's not present, but that he's his presence, his spirit that once brooded over America seems to be lifting a little bit. Why is that? We have to ask that question. Why is that? And we look around and we say, we don't pray in our schools. We've abandoned him in the public square. We don't allow nativities to be there. I would tell you that political correctness now is the God we serve in America. We're afraid to say Merry Christmas. This is a sad day for us. It was a sad day in John's, the Baptist's, time as well. The Pharisees and Sadducees had nothing to offer but rules and regulations and condemnation to the people. The ministers who were to provide hope and salvation to the people had given them none of that. And so the crowds had heard about this crazy guy preaching repentance, because people in their hearts, we know that we've fallen short of the glory of God. We know that. Just it's an innate thing in us. We're not God, and it's a good thing we're not. And so the throngs had come to John, the crowds, it says. It's interesting that it's crowds of people just like you and I. It's the tax collectors, it's the government officials, and then it's the soldiers. It's like all walks of life come to John. And they say, what should we do, John? And he just tells them, you got to repent and be baptized. But this baptism that I'm going to baptize you with is nothing compared to the baptism that's coming. You hear me? And then it's interesting that the idea of the winnowing fork, the grain and the chaff come out. And almost always, you'll hear ministers talk about the saved and the unsaved, the wheat, the chaff, the sheep and the goats. But I'm going to tell you something, that's not what this verse is talking about. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the fire that burns away something in our hearts, in the believers' hearts, in those who are baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's the chaff. It's the things in our minds and in our hearts that are counter to the love and peace and presence of God. It is. We are inundated in our society constantly by the idea of fear. fear sells. And we've been in a time of study, of really of renewal, if you will, in our home church groups. We've had leaders, and we've had the Max Lucado series about fearless. We've been talking about being fearless. And there's a lot of reasons why we've done that. Primarily, and I think Father David has shared this a number of weeks ago, well, months ago, a prophetic word came to the rector's council from somebody who doesn't prophesy, okay? But a prophetic word came and said, we're afraid. Well, that's a pretty shocking revelation. And we're weary. And here's the thing. So the rector's council, we prayed and we said, what can we do? We want a church. We want to grow the church. We want the people of God to experience the love of God at Church of the Messiah. So we began to pray, and the Lord sent this fearless, the idea of this fearless ministry, outreach to us. So we've been participating in that. And the hope it was and is that we as a congregation, that we the people, get hold of that. And we understand who God is through this ministry. And that we could become a fearless people. People resonating with the life of God. Because when God is there, perfect love casts out all fear. Right? Isn't that what we really want? Don't we want to be in love with Jesus Christ, with His Word, find His peace in our lives and our hearts, so that we, just by the way we live, by the way we walk, by the way we talk, others are attracted to us. What's different about you? What makes you at peace? Why aren't you worried to death? Haven't you watched the television? Don't you know that the North Koreans could send a missile and blow us up at any time? Don't you know that we're about to go off a fiscal cliff and we'll all be ruined? No, seriously. Now, you know that's all made up, right? There is no cliff we're going over. But our media is designed to sell us fear. And we're all, whether we admit it or not, scared to death. Most of our lives are lived in fear. We just don't know it because it's inundating us. It's the message that constantly is presented to us every day. What should we do is the question of the day. What should we do about that? Should we live in fear? I mean, seriously, people are bringing guns to school and semi-automatic weapons and blowing away classrooms. Should we be in fear? The answer to that seems to be yes, we should. Doesn't it? Is it just me? It seems like that. But the truth of the matter is, no, we shouldn't. And the reason we shouldn't is because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done today for us. And I just love Kevin. He's always taken my sermons and when he's leading and taking my thunder. Because I was going to talk about filling our minds and our hearts with good things. Thinking about the good things. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, right? We sing that, but yet we don't do it. Because we're distracted, constantly being distracted by the newspaper, by the radio, by television. Fear, 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 fear. I said to Darla, my wife, I said, I just don't get it, honey. I don't understand what's going on. And she said, I'll tell you what it is. It's these video games. People are completely desensitized. To what's going on. And I got to tell you, I'm beginning to think it's beyond just television where murders and rapes and infidelity You name it. They're all worshiped. We worship those things. But it's the fear that keeps coming at us. We've almost become desensitized to it because we forget so easily to remember the good things that God has done for us. We become afraid of the future. Hey, it's easy to do. It's very easy to do. We've all done it. We're afraid of the future. Now, that's what was happening here. That's why John's appeal to the people was so broad and so great. They were afraid of the future. So they came to find out, John, what do we need to do? So he tells them what they need to do, but somebody's coming after me that's going to baptize you with fire. Prepare your hearts. Now, Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And so when the Lord says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, what we think about is who we are. And what I'm telling you is, what we think about is things that scare the heck out of us. That really is. It's because it's the message that comes at us. It sells. We buy it. But the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's alive. It's living. It's active. So we have to recognize that we have to think a different way. We have to think a different way. If we don't, we're just like them. We're just like the people we want to reach with the good news. How can we reach people when we're scared to death, when we're afraid? We got to be politically correct. Colossians 3:1 says, set your hearts on things above, not on things here. Romans 12:2. Be transformed by renewing your minds. It's really your hearts and your minds, but that's the way transformation happens. The Holy Spirit is in us, and He comes on us to give us power. And we have to let Him burn away the dross and take the weeds and the negative thoughts and the fear that's in our lives out. And what we have to replace that with is exactly what Paul tells us in our second reading, in our epistle reading. So turn with me there to Philippians. And if Paul were here today, this is what he would say. He'd say, finally, brothers and sisters, see, here's how you transform your hearts and minds. Here's what you need to think about to renew your spirit. Think about these things. Whatever's true. What's true? The Word of God is true. It's active and living, right? It's true. What has God done for you? What's He done? You're here, you're healthy, you're alive. Most of your family are Christians. If they're not, you're reaching out to them. We have a great family here. What's true? What's noble? Well, we had George's funeral yesterday, George Noble. And you know, the one thing that was amazing about George is that kind of came out in the funeral was that George was not really afraid. He was a fearless kind of guy. He was a little odd, to say the least, but then so were we all. My wife reminds me that I am on a pretty regular basis. And so I believe her. But George, we have to think about noble things. But he was somebody that was really wasn't afraid to say whatever he thought. And most of it was good stuff. And he prayed big prayers, way big prayers, for this church. So when I heard that George was gone, he had died, which was somewhat of a surprise, but I guess when you're in your 70s, it's not a surprise. When you're six or out of school, it's a shock. But when George went on, I was like, great. Now the Church of the Messiah has somebody in heaven advocating, praying, asking Jesus, hey, remember I was praying for these guys. We prayed for the Holy Spirit to be here. We prayed for the love of God. We prayed for increase. We prayed for offerings. He prayed for all kinds of things. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of ridiculous prayers. Seriously. We look around and we go, he was praying for a church of 1,000 people. Well, there's 70 of us, 50 of us, however many there are, and he was praying for 1,000. That seems crazy to me. But George could think it and he could imagine it. And the Bible says, whatever you can think, whatever you can imagine, God can do more than that. He can do more than that in our lives. So if the Bible says we can think it or imagine it, shouldn't we think about good things? Shouldn't we think about noble things? Amen. Finally, brothers and sisters, think about the things that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, that are excellent, that are praiseworthy. Don't think about the fiscal cliff. Don't think about that. Really. I listen to talk radio just like a lot of you guys. The right, the left, the center, right of center, the left of center. That's nothing compared to the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Amen. Nothing can rob our peace more than the fiscal cliff. Seriously. But we focus on that. Why? It's because it's the message of the day. It comes at us and comes at us and comes at us. It doesn't stop. You may feel defeated. You may feel depressed. You may be full of doubt about our future. You may be discouraged today because you've become weary in well-doing. In trying to do the right thing, it gets a little weary. It does for all of us. But the battle belongs to the Lord. And it's His battle that we need to fight. And we need to hang in there. The epitaph in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 says, remember, I want you to remember and keep telling the story. Tell the story. Tell the stories of the good things that God has done. Tell them how He brought you out of the land of Egypt. Tell them how He opened the rivers and He gave you water in the desert. Tell them, remind them. Tell the people the good things of God. Don't ever stop telling them. Don't ever stop reminding them. There are so many good things that have happened to this little church that are amazing in my mind. Hey, there's just a few of us here, right? Not a lot. God's starting to bring some people in, but we own property, paid for. We own it. There are churches that have 200-300 people. They don't have a piece of property. They don't have a place to call their home. And I guarantee you, let me just tell you, when we put the shovel in the ground for the first time, buddy, the battle is on. Amen. No, it is. And Ephraim, the Bible says, armed with the bow. Sorry. The guys that are right on the front line, the guys, they didn't have the swords or the shields. These were the guys with the bows. If you watch the Lord of the Rings, man, it's the guys with those elves. Those are the guys that the warriors depend on. Because they got to soften the enemy up just a little bit so they could press in and fight through, right? Well, we like to send our praise and worship guys in. Hey, those are really... You guys go before us. We'll follow. That's why I became a priest. I didn't want that going in first. Right? Got to find some good praise and worship people at your church. So these guys were armed with the bow. And you know what they did? The Bible says this, all it says about them. Ephraim, armed with the bow, turned back in the day of battle. Amen. And I got to tell you, it happens to churches. Because when the battle is on, so many people forget the good things that God has done. And they forget that they're armed with the bow. The power of the Spirit. We're armed with the Spirit of God. And we forget, and we get weary in well-doing. But I'm going to tell you something. When we put a shovel in that ground, the battle's going to start. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual powers. That's what's going on in America. It's not the people. There's a battle going on. There is a spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies. There is. And we have to recognize that. A couple of years ago, I said that this is the year of the Lord's favor. Right? And it's kind of been I've kind of been there for a while. And in light of this fearless campaign that we've been in, because we need to be fearless. Your rector's council needs to be fearless. We've got to lead, right? But we need you guys to be fearless with us. We need you to catch the vision that we're working on. Because we've got a vision that liturgy's alive. We've got a vision, this is not a dead place. The Spirit of God lives in our liturgy. The Spirit of God is on our lives and in our hearts. And He's equipped us with the power to do more than we can think or imagine. We preach the Word of God. You need to be saved. You need to repent, just like John the Baptist said. We're preaching a gospel of repentance. But there's good news when you come to Jesus Christ. He's going to begin to transform your life and transform your minds, transform our hearts. So I was reading this and this Zephaniah passage. And I read it, and I look at some different writings. I look at different interpretations, not interpretations, but different scriptures. And I just happen to be reading the Message on this, because I read the Living Bible. A lot of times I read the King James. I'll read them all, just kind of see what I'm going to glean out of it. Just kind of see what other people, how other people have gotten a hold of God's Word. Because you remember, it's like a diamond. It's a beautiful thing. There's so many incredible ways to experience it. So I just want to say this, kind of in closing, that I'm going to read this and maybe just comment briefly. But I think that Zephaniah has the word of the Lord for Church of the Messiah. Some of us have been, there's a few of us, there's a remnant from St. David's. There's a few of us who were at St. David's way back when, back in the day. And we remember the good things. And then we were on the Arlington Expressway, and we were pressing in, and we were doing the battle. And quite honestly, God crushed us. It's not unlike Him to do that. But I'm just being honest, okay? And that's not a bad thing. Because I'm going to read to you, there's some good news in this. There's a lot of good news. And Zephaniah, I've never preached, ever heard anybody preach from Zephaniah. So I'm not going to do it either. But I'm going to read you this, I'm going to read you this prophetic utterance, and I want he that has ears, let him hear. Okay? Please. Zephaniah says, and I hope, okay. In the end, I'm going to turn all things around for the people. I'll give them a language undistorted, unpolluted, words to address God and worship, and united to serve me with their shoulders to the wheel. Boy, that sounds good. Doesn't it? Doesn't it sound good, Church of the Messiah? I think this is for us. They will come from beyond the St. John's rivers. They'll come praying. All my scattered, exiled people will come home with offerings for worship. That's been spoken over us, by the way. There have been other prophecies that have said this same thing. You no longer will be ashamed of the acts of rebellion. I have gotten rid of your arrogant leaders. No more pious strutting on my holy hill. I'll leave a core of people among you who are poor in spirit. What does Jesus Christ say about the poor in spirit? They're blessed people. They're blessed people. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed by God. That's why you come, because you want to hear the good news. Take away goodness. What's left of Israel, that's really Israel. Hello? I read that and I said, well, there were 300 of us one day, and now there's 75 or 100 of us. Think about Jesus just for a minute. He had a whole bunch of guys. He'd started out with a few, but he had built up a pretty big following. He'd sent out 75, right, out to 2x2. So in John, in John chapter 6, I think, they all come to him, and he starts teaching them about his body and his blood. And they all get upset with him. They really get upset with him. They're like, you can't be serious. We're not going to eat your flesh and drink your blood. You're nuts, Jesus. We're out of here. Right? Come on. That's is crazy talk. So Jesus looks at Peter, I think, right? And says, what do you think, Peter? Lord, you got the words of life. I don't know what the heck you're talking about, but we're not leaving. Do you know what I'm saying? We're not leaving. So he's down to 12. That's not too many, Father David. 12. And one of those betrays him. And then at the cross, he's down to 1. Everyone had left him but John. Everybody was gone. 1 guy left. John and his mother. That's it. Do you think we got it rough? The ministry of Jesus, it could be rough. Don't be discouraged. They'll make their home in God. This core holy people will not do wrong. They won't lie. They won't use flattery to seduce. They'll connect with those who they are and where they are. Unanxious, they'll live at peace. Sing, O daughters of Church of the Messiah. Raise the rafters. Be happy. Celebrate. God has reversed his judgment against you and sent your enemies off chasing their tails. From now on, God is king at the Church of the Messiah. He's in charge and at the center. There's nothing to fear from evil ever again. Nothing. to fear ever again. Why? Because we stay our minds on the good things, and we remember the good things that God has done, and the things that are noble, the things that are pure, the things that are right, the things that are holy. Church of the Messiah will be told, don't be afraid. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. I'm not saying it. Zephaniah said it. And it was so good, they wrote it down and put it in the Bible. He's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't despair. Your God is present among you. Hello? He's here. He's with us. He's a strong warrior here to save us. He's happy to have us back, the Bible says. He'll claim you with his love and delight you with his songs. The accumulated sorrows of your exile will dissipate. I, your God, will get rid of them for you. You've carried those burdens long enough. What burdens are you carrying? You've carried them long enough. What are the things that weigh you down? What are they? Name them. Find out what they are. The Lord says, don't carry those. Give them to me. I'm ready for them. I'm going to carry them for you. At the same time, I get rid of all those who've made your life miserable. I'll heal the maimed. I'll bring home the homeless. In the very countries where they were hated, they will be venerated. Church and Messiah, that's the word for us. Sometimes people don't like you. Sometimes they think you're crazy. On Judgment Day, I'll bring you back home, a great family gathering. You'll be famous and honored over all of Jacksonville. You'll see it with your own eyes, says the Lord. All those painful partings turned into reunion. This is God's promise. That's what Zephaniah says, and that's the word of the Lord to the Church of the Messiah.